You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about the free agency. We'll talk about the quarterback interview. So we'll tee up Jeremy in Parma, who wants to talk just about that. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, first thing I want to say is I'd take Bird. He's familiar with Mike Pettine. He can help teach the defense, and he's a ball hawk, something I think we need. Secondly, what I was going to say is I've been listening to guys on the radio today, and they've been kind of getting on Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer about the decisions they've been making. One of them, that they didn't interview any of the quarterbacks at the combine. Secondly, they didn't make a long-term deal with Alex Mack yet. And I kind of want to get your guys' point of view on this. I know we have Brian Hoyer. And one of the things they were saying is they think that they're going to just stick with Brian Hoyer and kind of pick somebody later in the draft, and they weren't agreeing with it. I just kind of want to get your guys' take on what you think is going to happen and what the moves that they're probably going to make in the future.
Sure. Well, as it applies to not talking to the quarterbacks at the combine, I read nothing into this. I mean, to use this as a point of criticism to me is ridiculous. You can choose those 15 minutes that you would have with players, and you could fill a dance card with as many as 60. I think that's the max each team has. 60 players, 15 minutes each. I think they went below that total and focused on positions that were other than quarterback there for the express purpose that they know in those 15 minutes a player, let's use specifically the guy that I'm sure got a lot of discussion today, Johnny Manziel, because there's some man crushes on him going on. I know that, as we've all heard throughout here and elsewhere. But here's the point. Johnny Manziel has been well-trained, as the other quarterbacks have, in their preparation camps, not only physically, but to handle the questions. Almost every variable, every possibility is thrown that player's way, and he's spent weeks upon weeks of rehearsing and training, and he's got his shtick down, his spiel down. And in 15 minutes, it's not a lot of time. In 15 minutes, he can stay to that script pretty tightly. But when you bring him to the building, and the quarterbacks, as I understand it, will all be brought here to Berea, as each team can bring players to their own facility, and you can bring upwards of 30 players for those visits, you get 60 minutes with each guy. You get a solid hour, and in that hour, it is much more difficult to stay to script. In that hour, you can get more genuine responses, and it's just in the eyes of the club, when it comes to the quarterback position, where so much of what is in that guy's head matters. It matters with the other spots, but they'd rather focus the bulk of those very precious times with players on doing it here. I have no problem with that. I don't think it makes them any less prepared on the quarterback research.
I don't think it does either. I think the devil's advocate would say, okay, you want to get the hour, why not get an hour and 15 minutes with them? And I hear your point. I think when you look at what the Browns were doing there, they were focusing on other positions because quarterback obviously is going to be a huge focus. You get to bring the 30 people in for the one-on-one sessions, the workouts here in Berea, and the quarterbacks, that they're going to come in here. They will all be here. They will be interviewed. They will be checked out very thoroughly by this team. And I think that was what they want to do, maybe differentiate themselves as well, set up a different scenario. Could the extra 15 minutes have been beneficial? We don't know, but I know that a lot of research went into the decision that was made by the Cleveland Browns to do things the way they are as it relates to the quarterback position, and that's what they've decided to do. As you were talking about with Brian Hoyer as the quarterback, I think he'll get an opportunity to compete either with a veteran, with a rookie, or both. I think that that's going to be the plan this offseason. And then he had one other question as well. I'm trying to remember. The quarterback.
He asked about the quarterback, and he asked.
Alex Mack.
Yeah, about not signing Mack. Go ahead.
You cannot compel a person to sign a contract. It is impossible to do. You can make them the best offer that you can make them, and it might not be good enough. We know, for example, in Buffalo, Jarius Bird was made a contract offer by the Buffalo Bills that would have made him the highest paid player at his position in the National Football League, and now he will be likely hitting the market. the Cleveland Browns. I know they've been negotiating with him. They've made him the offer. They've reached out to him. We heard about the trip out to California last week. They're doing everything they can, and by placing the transition tag on him, they are giving themselves the opportunity to either get a deal done with him before March 11th, or they're giving themselves the opportunity to match any offer that comes in. They are doing what they thought was the best strength to keep him and best strategy to keep him long-term, because the difference is really in the franchise tag, you're not going to get nearly as many offers on him. It's not right. going to happen, even if you make him non-exclusive, because nobody wants to pay the salary plus two first-round picks. So in essence, maybe they're saying, okay, let's see what you would take, and then we can match that and make sure we keep you here in Cleveland. So I think they're doing what they feel they need to do to keep Alex Mack at this point.
Yeah, look, the
would you rather him sign? Of course.
I would have rather had it done. The fact that they don't have it done speaks to a problem. They couldn't come to an agreement, so there is a divide, there is a gap. All the transition tag meant was you've got some protection just in case you're able to get, if it gets to a point where he signs with nobody, you've got that as a fallback position. And you still have to decide as a team. It's not a lock that the team chooses to match the offer from another team. I suspect they will, but how can we say anything until we know exactly what that offer is? Does another team hit him with a deal that is so outrageously high in money in the eyes of the Browns that they say, look, you know, he might be worth that to you. In our salary structure, he isn't. So let's see how that all falls together. I'm optimistic that the Browns want to go down the road of seeing what kind of offer he gets elsewhere and see if they can, match it or do something with it. But until it's done, it's not done. And the fact that they didn't get it done, again, is not encouraging.
Right.
They just didn't get it done.
Right. And we also heard along the same vein from the agent of T.J. Ward, that's something I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
That they have been in talks, they have been negotiating, they have not come to a deal that obviously they both agree on, otherwise he would be signed, but that the talks are ongoing and still working towards getting this done before March 11th, and if it doesn't, T.J. Ward will basically hit free agency. That was the basic synopsis of what the statement released by his agent yesterday. When we come back, a man who's been a general manager in the National Football League, Charlie Casserly, currently an NFL Network analyst, will stop by to talk to us about the free agent period, March 11th, what the Browns are doing, what he thinks of that, and we'll have that when we return.